Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.
I would like to use the opportunity to welcome us to Tuesday Diocese. We are coming to you live from my home and in the Atorita of Belia in Akure, and I'm trusting God that you are good wherever you are in the name of Jesus. I pray and declare over you that you will not pass away with this coronavirus in Jesus' name. Amen. The word of God, the promise of God in Psalm 91 says, no plague shall come near our dwelling place. The Bible says, with our ears we shall hear the fall of the wicked. And that's what's going to continue to happen in the name of Jesus. The Lord is our shield, the Lord is our helper, the Lord is our protector. And I trust God that will keep protecting us in Jesus' name. Now, this evening, by God's grace, we'll be continuing with our Kingdom Warfare series. Like I said, it's our custom to expand on our convention theme, which was Warfare of the Kingdom. And again, I need to explain to us why that is so. We have grown up in a culture where everybody is interested in fighting his own personal battles. People have raised up ministries just to help you fight your personal battles. And everything about life is structured around your personal battles. There's a philosophy even amongst us, even among the Yoruba speaking, I don't know about the Igbos and the rest of them. They say it in Yoruba that Ileaye Ile Oguni, translated meaning that this life is warfare from beginning to then. And there was a man of God who said this, and he put it very well. He says, before we were even conceived, Satan has concluded our cases. He has finished our matter. But we thank God for Jesus, who has destroyed everything about Satan. Now, this evening, by God's grace, I want to continue from where we left last week. What Pastor Dele did on Sunday. Pastor Dele just simply came around on Sunday and blessed us, helped us to understand the warfare that we fight on daily basis. And that was fantastic. I could not have done a better job than that. He did a wonderful piece there for us. And I give thanks to God in the name of Jesus. There is a word in that Ephesians chapter 6, when Paul used the word wrestle, said we do not wrestle. We are not wrestling. There is that word wrestling conveys an hand-to-hand combat. Now, what Pastor Dele simply did on Sunday was to intelligently craft it to let us see how that thing happens on day-to-day basis. A wrestling bout involves hand-to-hand combat. When you notice in your life that there is always a challenge, there's always this problem that just pops up, you know, and Satan just keeps, you know, wanting to get you to give up on your commitment, give up on your, on you following Jesus, a wrestling battle, a wrestling match is taking place. And most of the time we are not aware. When there's a temptation for you to sin, there's a temptation for you to go out of order, there's a temptation for you to cast away your confidence, Satan is wrestling you down. He's trying to pin you to the floor. Of course, you are conversant with WWE wrestling that we watch on TV. That is how the enemy is trying to take advantage of you and put you on the floor. And the Bible said the only way for us to survive this is to have us put on the whole armor of God. Now, most of the time, you'll find out that most of us are unaware that we are actually engaged in a wrestling fight. Now, there's another thing I also want to bring across to us and let us know about this thing. In Ephesians chapter 6, when Paul was speaking, he talks about the wiles of the devil. And I tried to explain that last time. Now, what does it mean? It's taken from a Greek word, methodia. Yeah, I think it's methodia, which means to follow up by method. To follow up somebody by method and with a settled plan, with using deceit, using craft and trickery. tricks, brain work, maneuvers, and all kinds of things to distract us. That is how he goes about it. So when we are wrestling, we must be conversant with his deceit, must conversant with others. We use tricks, must conversant that the fact that he's going to, he has a strategy, he has a craft, he is a craftsman, he's a skilled person at this. If you have watched, again, let me use that wrestling analogy here. If you have watched WWE, especially tag team fights, where one person will be in the ring, the other partner will be distracting the referee so that his partner can be wrecking havoc on the opponent. They do all kinds of things to win. And most of the time, you're going to wonder, this Ojoro is getting too much. But in that particular fight, most things are accepted. They use all kinds of things. All kinds of trickery is allowed. And that's one thing that many of us do not understand. Satan does not fight fear. God has allowed him to use every trick in the book and the ones outside the book to fight us. We are the ones that are constrained. We cannot fight using his methods. We cannot fight using his weapons. We cannot fight anyhow. We are under strict orders to fight using conventional weapons of God. They are called weapons of righteousness. We can't use anything. Satan has free leverage or leeway to do whatever pleases him to fight us. But God will help us in Jesus' name. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, Paul admonished us. He says, let us fight the good fight of faith. Let us fight the good fight of faith. Many are not conversant with this concept of fighting. You were raised in a church system that says very, very little about Satan. They do not emphasize and they do not teach us or bring us into a place of balance that there is a warfare that we are against. They maybe once in three or four months, they just say, yeah, Satan will bind you. And that's where it ends. When you talk to them that, why is this so? They say, we don't talk about Satan here. We just talk about God. We want to just know God. I'm sorry for all of you. Because God said so much about Satan in his Bible. If he was so interested in you not knowing about him, he would not have put him in that Bible. But unfortunately, I don't know where many of these people got their ideas from, that they only won't talk about God. You're supposed to tell us about God and tell us about the enemy of our souls. And Paul was a man who knew and was conversant with this. So he told Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. If you don't fight the good fight of faith, then you cannot lay hold on eternal life, whereunto you are called. Eternal life is not a gift you just you claim. It entails a warfare. It entails a fight. Hallelujah. And that is where you and I must come to understand. Now let me read that. That's okay, James. I read that from King James. Let me read from the Easy English. He says, you must be like someone who fights a good fight. You must fight against everything that should stop you living for Christ. Everything that will stop you from living for Christ. That is the fight you have been called to fight. That's the nature of our warfare. And I'm trusting God that God will help you in the name of Jesus. Now, I want to explain this to us. Why is it that we have to fight? Why is there a necessity to fight? Of course, Jesus has overcome the enemy. Of course, Jesus has gone to heaven and he sat down at the right hand of God. But you have forgotten that the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 13, the Bible says, God said, so which of the angels said at any time, sit on my right hand until I make the enemies thy footstool. There is an unresolved matter that is still pending that God has not accomplished. He told Jesus, sit on my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. If you recollect that Jesus is the head of his church and the body is you and I, and part of his body is his feet. Praise the Lord. So the way by which God is going to make his enemies a footstool is that he's going to have the church put his legs on the head of the serpent. You will recollect the story of Joshua when he conquered the five kings of Medina. There were five kings that he destroyed. And when they defeated those five kings,
Joshua asked all his commanders to come and had them put their legs on the head of those kings before he killed them. Why was he going to do that? Because he needed to let them know that they were invincible. They were the conquerors. So when the Bible says you are more than a conqueror, it's talking about you putting your leg on the head of the serpent. We cannot tell creation that Jesus is Lord until the body of Jesus subdues the enemy. And we are going to have to work in consonance with God. It's a tag team. God and the church must work together to make that prophecy come to pass. The enemies of Jesus must be put under his footstool. They must not be subdued before they are cast into the lake of fire. So when people began to say, Jesus is coming tomorrow. Jesus is coming anytime. The coronavirus has come. The end of the world. I laughed at the ignorance and the foolishness of many believers. Because the things that Jesus came to do has not been accomplished. You say, Pastor, what am I talking about that? Has the church coming to perfection? Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11 talks about 11 downwards. This is about the purpose of God. He said he gave us the ministry gifts for the purpose of perfecting the church. Are we coming to perfection? Are we close to it? And you are talking about rapture. I don't know how you want to get to your rapture. I don't know what basis you will be asking God for a rapture when you have not even come close to perfection. My brother, better sit down and begin to work on your life. And God will help us in the name of Jesus. That is my way of preamble. Praise God. Now, I want us to now talk about some things that have to do with the devil. Now, from our definition of what wiles means, it says that there is a follow-up plan, a settled plan that Satan follows. He has a template he's following. You remember the Bible says that God has a plan for us. Say the thoughts I have for you are thoughts of good, not of evil, to give you an expected end. God is working with a plan. Don't be surprised. Satan also has a plan. Just as God is planning good for you, Satan is planning evil for you. He is working tirelessly. Somebody said about Satan. I read in one of the books of Tozer. No, E.M. Burns. So if there's anything that we must respect about Satan, is that he is tireless. Satan does not believe in a no. He doesn't give up. He is so faithful. He has much faith in himself that he will succeed. And that is one trait of the serpent. When you say be wise as a serpent, you have to begin to understand what was trying to convey. That we are dealing with an enemy that does not give up. An enemy that does not believe in no. An enemy that does not believe in defeat. You defeat him, he comes back. Remember when Jesus Christ, the mountain of temptation, when he tempted Jesus. After he had finished temptation, he left Jesus for a while. He left him for a while. And he came back. He kept coming back. It was the same Satan that organized his death. That triggered and inspired the Pharisees and Sadducees and all the people to say, crucify him. It was the same one that went to meet that man on the cross. On the one man that was on his left hand side. I said, if you be the Christ, come down. The same personality walking. So everything is allowed of him to use. When he saw that Jesus Christ willingly went to the cross, he said, let me abort this process. He was there again. He's still the same devil. He has a plan. He has strategies. He has trickery. He has deceit. He has all kinds of things that he's working with. And God's going to help us as we go into this thing in the name of Jesus. Now, I want to say this. Jesus has promised us victory. That's where I want to start from. But some things that we would be saying may be to scare some of us. And I don't want us to be scared at all. This intention of this teaching is not to scare you, but it's to educate you, to inform you that you may be spiritually wise unto all things, that you may know what you are up against. I found out that the reason why we no longer speak about all these things is that we are not really on the front line. Many of us we're in a church system that all we hear is our prosperity. God wants you to be good. God wants you to go forward. God wants you to be a millionaire. God wants you to always be fine. God wants you to always be. I said, God, this one's going on. But the truth of it is that, look, if you go to the villages and you are doing evangelism, you come against this, you will see demonic powers raw. Don't let me give you any wrong impression that there are no demons in Lagos. There are plenty of demons. Some of them, they wear corporate suits. They are witches and wizards. They fly jets. They do everything. But they are still witches. If you go abroad, there are plenty there. They are on Wall Street. They are riding the best cars. They are still witches and wizards. They are still demonic human beings. It's when you go there and start talking to them that that spirit in them will rise. There was a young man that I know who was a very, very vibrant Christian when he was in Nigeria. Very vibrant Christian. Preaching, he doesn't care. He was persecuted by his parents for following Christ. That did not deter him. He just kept on following Christ. He went to England, relocated to England because he was born there. He got to England. In less than a year, he had backslidden. Everybody tried. It's not as if he went to fornication. He was not fornicating. He just stopped going to church. He just shut down. And when I met him a few years ago, I told him, I said, what happened to you? He said, Egbon, let me tell you the truth. I've not told anybody. He said, the desire for God just died in me. It just died. So I can't explain it. It just died. That was when I knew the power of the word, the God of this world. It's very true. There are spirits there. One of my sons was in Canada. Explained how in Canada there he was contending with forces of darkness, witches and wizards. Where they were holding fellowship was on a, there was a, they had, I mean, I don't know whether the flag, but they were at the top floor. The next floor below them, that was where the witches have their meetings. And they were disturbing them. So what they did of course, being a Nigerian, and when he was talking, I said, you are dealing with witches and wizards. You have to start binding them and disrupting them. So he and a friend got together and they started praying. So they just found out that the witch something just began to have problems. So one day, I don't know, they locked the building. So he met the witches sitting down. Fine girls, fine boys, Oyibo, but Aje, niwa Aje. Pure Aje. So the way they looked at him, so with that guys and everything, I said they just destroy him. They just laughed at him. One of us will run away from this place. Of course, the church eventually had problems. They attacked the leader. They attacked his family, and the guy could not continue to lead. And that fellowship had problems. And I had to help them go through that wahala, you know. But that is warfare. I told him, you are in warfare. The person who was leading him did not understand what he was doing. And Satan attacked him. And so you now need to know why you have to put on the whole armor of God and why we must have each other's backs. But I will speak along that line as we go on. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Please, I need you to help me monitor time so that I will not be looking up and down. So I keep my eyes. Amen. Now, the Bible says, therefore, it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, and had raised up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He has made us to sit. So we are starting our discourse from the point of view that we are seated above with Christ. The matter is finished. But there are many things that we need to do. Now, let us look at... Now, I want to explain something. When we talk about Satan having plans, there are battlegrounds that we must contend with. This evening, I will talk about one of the battlegrounds. We have the battlegrounds of ourselves. You, yourself. Pastor Dele said that much on Sunday. That we cannot ask you to go and be taking nations when you yourself are still a captive to the devil. You can't do it. The enemy will laugh at you. The devil just... You see, when Moses was going to deliver Israel, God had appeared to Moses, said, I've heard the cries of my people. You remember in the burning bush? Said, now go and deliver my people Israel. You are my set man. You are my guy for the hour. Go. And Moses was very, very excited. He got back home, took his wife, took his children, packed his belongings. Oh yeah, Egypt, yeah? Bam, and he began to travel. They were going. Just nearing Egypt, God appeared to them on the way. It was God that said, Moses, go. Please pay attention. It was God that said, Moses, go and deliver my people. The same God met Moses on the way. And the Bible says God was going to kill him. What kind of confusion is that? You sent him. And you're the one standing on the way gate who wants to kill him. What was the problem with that? The Bible says, and when the wife of Moses saw what was going on, he took a knife and circumcised the firstborn of Moses. Took the foreskin that she had caught with the blood and threw it at the feet of Moses and said, thou art a bloody husband to me. It's there in the Bible. And she took her children and went back to her father's house in Medina. And it was only Moses that went into Egypt to go and wrought the deliverance. You will ask, why would the God want to kill Moses? Because there is a standing order that came from Abraham. He said, every child of Israel must be, especially me, must be circumcised. Said, anyone that is not circumcised, I will cut him off. Moses did not circumcise his children. And that opened the door for God to come and kill him. Even though it was him God that sent him a message. So there are things that we do that opens the door for attacks. And we're going to be looking at that. So there's a problem of self that we need to look at ourselves. What is wrong with ourselves? What's wrong with our lives? So that self also spins into our families. What is the problem with our families? Why is Satan attacking us? Satan will attack you at the level of yourself. He will attack you at the level of your family. Satan will attack us at the level of the church. I'll speak a little bit along that line. Satan will attack us at the level of our community. Praise God. Say praise God.
Hallelujah.
Look at Pastor Dilly said that he and Damiloju were driving around Arakale. He had right of way, apparently. They had negotiated a roundabout, and apparently the other person coming felt he was cheated. And he just came and said he wanted to beat him. Now that's a community problem. It's a spirit of lawlessness where nobody obeys. When I was in UK, I noticed that even if there is no car coming and there's a red light, they will stop. Man, I'll be looking at the Kilonshen guys. The road is free. They say, we don't behave like that here. I said, my Binu, Nigeria carry. When they said that I come out there, I said, look, I'm a lawless person. I will press on. They don't press on there. If you hear on PEM, there's a crisis. If you hear somebody press on PEM, police around there will know there's a crisis. And they will look, and once they find the person who is in trouble, they are going to arrest him. So you can't press on. I said, the only way you can make me drive is that you can't disconnect your own. Because me, I will press on. It's our nature. How will you not use on? When you drive, when my own is off, and I'm driving, and Okada is moving from right to left, and it's as if I'm naked. I'm vulnerable. I'm afraid. So it's just our life. Praise God. One man of God came to Nigeria, and one brother went to pick him in the airport. He came from Trinidad. And when they got into Lagos traffic, said the way the brother was driving one way, because there was traffic and they needed to get to the church. So the brother went and faced one way traffic. The guest sat, hey, I will die. And Okada was driving. I said the brother just did like that. I said nothing is going on. Just doing, He looked at me and said, are you normal? He said that we drive it in Nigeria. Just don't worry. We'll get there. It's just our nature. You now carry us to a place like America. We will enter trouble. There's no way we will not enter trouble. I was with my sister in the U.S. and we missed a turn. And I said, I've missed that turn. I said, there's no problem now. Let us reverse now. Said, you try it, you boo, we can't. You wait back. Then the man will send one forever. I said, what is wrong with you? We'll just go and make a U-turn. I face the coming traffic. I tell them, I'll be flashing, but you leave the road, we are coming. Now we enter the road and we're going that way. We're okay. That's the problem. You think it's normal? Demons need. There's an occultic demonic oppression that has afflicted our minds. That's making us behave like that. I think it's not that. So when we're talking about warfare of the kingdom, that's an area we're going to fight. We're going to fight not just over community, we're going to fight over nations. And these are areas of warfare. Are you with me? Of course, when I speak about the church, when I speak about the community, you're talking about, praying, talking, and engaging people. Now, let me say this as before I move on. Please, spiritual warfare is not the same thing as prayers. I see a lot of churches say, Ekalo Jagun, you know, we want to go and fight. What I do? We have night vision, we want to go and fight the devil. That's how I have to fight the devil. It's not, I've not found it anywhere in the Bible that that's how to fight the devil. How many times did Jesus Christ do night vision? Go and read it. He didn't go to fight the devil, he went to pray to his father. Praise God. So, prayer has its own functionality. Spiritual warfare has its own technicalities. You don't mix it together. It is this mixing that has caused a lot of frustration. People go to prayer mountains and say, Ogwayemi, you will never have solution to your problem because that is not how to deal with the matter. You can't solve the problem. These things are technical, and you must know the technicalities involved in these deliverances. Praise the Lord. And so we want to find out, why do men have all the problems we have? Of course, let us look at this scripture. Can someone please read it for me? Job chapter 14, verse 1. Please, let us look at Job 14, verse 1. Please, hurry up, time is going. Yeah, we are in church. Job 14, verse 1.
Man that is born of a woman.
Hallelujah.
Is of few days.
Amen.
And full of trouble.
Man that is born of woman is of few days. But his whole life is trouble. From the beginning to the end is wahala. And you may not ask, why is that so? Of course, you say, but pastor, there are people that enjoy. Can you please let us go to Psalm 73? Let us look at Psalm 73. It's an interesting place for us to read. Psalm 73, praise God. Let's read it from which verse? From verse 1. Let us read it from verse 1.
The Psalm of Asaph. Truly, God is good to Israel.
Hallelujah.
To such as have a clean heart.
Yes.
But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious as the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked.
Please pay attention. He saw the prosperity of the wicked. Now, Job said that man that is born has few days, and all those days are full of trouble. But here, there's a testimony here. He has seen the prosperity of the wicked. Now, continue.
For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride compasses them about as a chain. Violence covers them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart would wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return either, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how does God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly, who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain, and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued.
Please pay attention. His testimony is that the wicked have no problem. For him who has kept the promises of God, he has followed God diligently. What was his own gain? Plagues. He has been plagued. Yeah?
All the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou casted them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terror. As a dream when one awaketh. So, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holding me by my right hand.
Okay, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
This is a testimony of the psalmist. Like many of us, we look at our lives and we see that it has been problem from when you can remember to the present day, and as you look into the future, you cannot see a way out. Then you look at other people, it's as if they don't have any problem at all. They have become so proud and arrogant. You look at people like Dangote and you envy them. Look at Otedola, the way their cheeks are robust. They have no problem. I was making a joke a few days ago that if I have Otedola like my father, me too, I will show that I'm intelligent. Praise God. There's people that say that when there's no money, how can the poor man be saying he has idea? How can the poor man have idea? What idea does he have? If he has had idea, would he not be a rich man? But you know, praise God, hallelujah. But that's how life works out. But don't be fooled. Every son of man that is born of Adam has problem. All of them has problem. These people did not know they have problem. He said, until I went to the sanctuary, I saw their end. That was when God said, they were slippery places. Their case was worse. May our case not be like that in Jesus' name. Amen. So let us run through the things I have here today. Ourselves. What is the problem with ourselves? How is Satan waging war and fighting us on an individual level against ourselves? Hallelujah. Now, one thing that I want to say, that I can quickly categorize the nature of our individual warfare very, very quickly. The first is lust. Everybody say lust. This is how Satan fights us. Let us look at James 1. James 1, verse 12. Read, please.
Blessed is the man that endures temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him.
Continue.
Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death.
Wow.
Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of light, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creature. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath.
Okay, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, let us look at Galatians chapter 5 verse 17. You remember that scripture? It says, for the flesh lusted after the spirit, or against the spirit, I beg your pardon, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Praise the Lord. So we find that the first problems that every human being has all over the world is the problem of lust. Lust. That singular problem will render you incapable of being useful in the hands of God. The Bible says the flesh lust against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and they are contrary one to another. Now, look, if you go to Romans 8, look at what Romans 8 has to say. Well, let's pick it from verse. Is it 8? Okay. Is it 8? Let's pick from verse 5.
For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
Praise the Lord. Please pay attention. We know, remember also the flesh lost after the spirit. He now said, those that are after the flesh, what do they mind? The things of the flesh. And if any man is carnally minded, the Bible says that man will die. Forget the fact that he's born again. The man will die. So when we begin to talk about the warfare of the mind, the warfare that has to do with you and I dealing with all these unholy and unrighteous desires that plague our thoughts and plague our hearts, You have to understand that these are all issues that operate from the satanic realms. What are they doing? They encourage us, they sponsor us, they hustle us, they tempt us, they trick us, just for us to bite and take the fruit. Remember, I mean, it's still the same technology. Eve. He told, ask Eve, the fruit that you are looking at, what's your problem? The God said, guys, should not touch it. No, should guys, what did God say about it? The woman said, God said we should not touch it, so that if we touch it, I swear we will die. The God said they should not touch it. No, God said don't eat it. He didn't say they didn't touch it. When he saw that, he didn't know what she was saying. Said, I know that this one, I'm going to eat this for lunch. And you know the conversation and how it ended. What was that? Satan led her, tricked her, gave her false promises, and she ate the fruit. The rest, like they say, is history. It's trickery. It's the same technology. So, when James was saying, let no man say I'm tempted of God. Say, God can't tempt you. There is a desire in your heart. When you have a desire, a very ungodly desire, that's where it starts from. It's desires. And that's why you need God to sanctify your desires. Desires, desires, desires. Just desire. You just look at this laptop and I desire to have a laptop. Satan quickly picks it up. Everyone picks it up, but Satan also picks it up. But James was saying, say, why do you lust for it? Why are you praying and you are not getting it? Say, because you lust up to consume it for your own lust. If we ask you, why do you want the laptop? Because you found that your friend also has a laptop. You two need to push. The whole intention is wrong, ab initio. And once Satan realizes that you are coming on the wrong platform, he's going to encourage you to go in that direction. Why did the woman eat the fruit? Because he promised the woman, you will be wise like God. You won't need God again. You just be wise. That was that she had always wanted to be independent. She has always wanted to be somebody that will become somebody. She had wanted maybe her name to be on the if you have been to secondary boarding house, where you're right, Jugunu was there. You want them to remember you for the rest of their lives. That anybody that calls, they will ask, who's Jugunu? Who's Jugunu? Who's Jugunu? Who's Jugunu? Wrong, selfish ambition. Wrong desires. Said you are tempted when you have wrong desires. Satan will encourage you, go to take it. Don't worry. No, God will not say anything. It's okay. They'll begin to rationalize it for you. Then say, when it is now, when you have accepted it, that means you have conceived it, how you will get it. That's why Jesus Christ said, when you look at a woman, you lust for her, you want her. You have not raised your hand. You have not spoken to her. You have not even gone near her. All you just did was that you just made up your mind, I want her. Or I want him. Because as he's doing man, he's also doing woman. Praise God. So don't leave us. Only us, only men that have problem. Everybody has problem. As long as you're a child of Adam, you were born by Adam, you have problem. Hallelujah. And so we find out that when you conceive that idea, it, as far as heaven is concerned, you have logged it. You have initiated a process that will take heaven to abort. And so when you incubate it, and you think over it, and you allow that thing to brood over and over and over, one day you will execute it. That's why in law, there's what they call premeditated murder. And there's what they call that is accidental, homicide. That maybe you were playing with knife, and you say, hey, praise God, just turned your hand like that, and somebody was there, and that thing entered the person and killed him. It was not premeditated. It was an accident. The law will let you go free. But somebody offended you here. You kept quiet. You didn't talk. The guy now worked up. You now followed him home with a knife. And you now cornered him. And now began to choke him. That you thought it through. You planned it. That one is firing squad. Or hanging. Or anyhow they want to kill the person. That's it. Hallelujah. So you have a problem with the flesh. And that's a very, very dangerous thing that the Bible encourages us to deal with. Like I always tell, like I always say, we can abort it. Like a man of God said, he said, you cannot stop the bird from flying over your head, but you can stop the bird from laying a nest. Thoughts enter our minds every day. Every day they are coming there. Satan is, you know, you look this way, you see a fine girl, and the thought now comes, man, that girl is fine. Once you start brooding on that thought, Satan will perch on your and you will start encouraging. Keep on, yeah, yes, keep on encouraging until something wrong takes place in your heart. That was how Egan explained it. She said, God, Jesus Christ gave him a vision of a lady. She was a wife of a minister of God, beautiful woman, but the husband was a struggling pastor, struggling. I mean, one corner of America. Ogwe Obusuta was just there, you know. And there was a beautiful wife. Beautiful. And not only was she beautiful, she was talented. Oh, they said the girl could sing. If the girl sing, everything will be shaking. But, oh go, daddy, hallelujah. Say you understand. And Satan was coming, and said he now saw that demon come around and perched on her shoulder and begin to suggest to her, oh, you are wasting your time here. You are wasting your time. Look, you have this talent. You can go out and make money. You can go and sing, you know, and everybody, the whole world will know you. I said, at the first, she said, I rebuke you. The demon will go. The demon will come back. I rebuke you. After a while, she stopped rebuking the demon. And she began to agree. A day now, okay, said, so the time she now agreed that, I must leave this man and go and pursue my dream. So when you hear my dream, check it. Satan is behind it. My own dream. It's not all these messages that people preach in churches are from God, though. Some of them are messages that are doctrines of demons. Many people think that any message that is that it has to be like a lumba message. That's when you say, this one is a demon. No. When demons are working on people, they begin to pursue their personal agenda. That's why when we started this study, we said it's not our kingdom, it's his kingdom. The Lord's Prayer that he taught us is that after worshiping God, the first request we must make is, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It's in first. That's the principle of the tithe. You are honoring God first. So if it's not his agenda, then there's no agenda. So if anybody is preaching to you, helping you and encouraging you to push your own agenda at the expense of God's agenda, that is an antichrist. I will talk about that more later, not now. But that's an antichrist, encouraging you to do what you should not be doing. God has an agenda, and we must learn to find out and pursue it. And he will help us in Jesus' name. So where was I? This woman began to accept those thoughts. He said, immediately the woman accepted that suggestion and internalized it and made it her own. Said, a dark spot appeared in her heart. And as she began to consider it and began to plan, the darkness began to spread like cancer. By the time the thing enveloped her, the lady walked out of her marriage, walked out of ministry, left her children with that man, and walked out. And where did she go to sing? She went to a beer parlor to go and be singing there. That's what Satan gave her to work to go and do. And ministers of God went to her, talked to her, encouraged her. One day they went to meet her at a woman and said, look, come back. Your husband will take you. God that has passed, she just said to them, you and your Jesus, leave me. I don't want to see you again. And banged the door on them and walked away. And again was horrified. And was trying to tell Jesus, please just give her a chance. He said, no, just it's too late. They've given her a chance. They have given her enough chance to repent. When she said, Jesus, and no, the Bible says we cannot step on the blood. How do you say put it? We cannot do despite to the blood and not expect consequences. You can't crucify him the second time. That lady put Jesus to an open shame. Jesus Christ said, even with all that she has done, with her adultery, with her faithfulness, that if she had come back to him, he would have forgiven her, washed her, and restored her back. But she didn't do that. She closed the door and said, I don't want anything to do with you and your Jesus. I don't believe in it. And pushed all of them away. Shortly after that, she died and went to hell. So you need to understand that these things are real. Demons are real. And they wage war against us in the realm of our thoughts, in the realm of our desires, in the realms of lusts, in the realms of encouraging us to like things we should not like. They are there. And you must be careful. When the word of God has clearly stated, thou shalt not do this, and you go and like the things God says you should not like. Ask, I don't know whether you remember that man, Achan. Specific instructions were given. When you guys enter Jericho, anything you see, destroy it. All the gold, everything, set it on fire. Is that not clean? It's clear enough. Brother Achan, was not an unbeliever. Brother Achan saw this gold, fine apparel, and all those things, and said, well, God can't see me, and carried his son, and eat it. I went to sit down, and I was looking. And when trouble came, they said there is a traitor in our midst. Because of him, Israel could not stand before their enemies. That's how dangerous it is to break the word of God and break the agreements that God has made. When you go into, or you, every time you take communion, you are telling God and creation and demons that you have made a commitment to stand with God. If you go out of that place and you go and start doing things that is contrary to that commitment, Paul says some of you fall sick and some of you die. Because you have eaten the Lord's Supper without you discerning this, the significance and the enormity and the danger involved in it. God will have mercy on us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And so, Achan took that which was cursed, and we know the rest of the story. So the next thing I want to talk about tonight, God helping me, I don't know whether I have enough time, is this issue of curses, generational bloodline curses. From the time Adam sinned, he introduced curse to the whole world. Now, Ephesians, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 3. 1 to 3, I beg your pardon. Ephesians 2, 1 to 3.
And you had filled with him, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, to the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others.
Now, in 1 Corinthians 12:2, Paul said, ye know that ye were Gentiles. The Corinthians, the Ephesians were Gentiles. So all of us Gentiles were under the prince of the power of the air. That prince walked in us where the people were called children of disobedience. And for that reason, we were children of wrath. We were people that the wrath of God rested over. All the Gentiles. Oh God, you don't know what it means to be a Gentile. There are only two kinds of people in this world. The Jew and the Gentile. Those are the two kinds of people. The reason why Jew was exempted was the covenant God had with Abraham. That's why they were free. And that's the reason why God gave them all those tabernacle worship. He gave them the priesthood. He gave them the sacrifices so that they would not suffer the fate of the Gentiles. Because the Gentiles knew not God. Look at what Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians 12:2. He says, you know that you were Gentiles carried away from these dumb idols even as you were led. Hallelujah. All the Gentile nations. He won in America, he won in Britain, he won in Japan, he won in all of them. So it's interesting when you get to Europe and the boomer is looking at Africa and they are giving us what are they giving us? What they give us here? When you look at and use it to just finish you. What is it called? They just spite you. And I look at it and say, we were all Gentiles. We don't know God. We have no God. All of us are under wrath. And yet you'll be flexing. As if your suit and your... Because you have... Look at what coronavirus has done to all of them. Is there a difference between coronavirus and Africa? Thank God. In fact, they said they are even confused. That they are surprised that Africa is not already dying. Like they are dying. I said it is God. Hallelujah. The last shall be the first. Praise the Lord. It is in that realm that we can take them on. See, in technology, we don't have mouths. But it is this spirituality that God will begin to go for. Hallelujah. God is good. He has a way of balancing things. They have been humbled. And let this thing finish. And maybe in Nigeria, we don't have more than 20 days. In the name of Jesus. The prophecy of Melinda Gates will not come to pass. In the name of Jesus. In spite of the foolishness of the governor of Kano, they will not die like flies. In Jesus' name. Mercy will save them. In Jesus, so that they can be put to shame. They can come and die later, but not of corona. Amen. Praise God. Where was I before? Amen. Okay, that's true. That's true. Amen.
Amen.
Let me look there. He says, see, easy English. You know how you lived in past times. You lived as fools do not know God or Christ. Things made you in whatever way to worship false gods that cannot speak. Now, people say gods, the gods that the Gentiles worship cannot speak. That's not true. No. Paul was referring to the first Corinthians people here. He said, concerning spiritual gifts, I don't have you ignorant, brethren. You were once Gentiles. You were acquainted with the supernatural. There is no Gentile that does not know the supernatural. When people talk about the religion of our fathers, those guys knew supernatural. Ah, my Ogedengbe, they told me about him. One of the stories, I don't know whether it means I was not in the battle. So when Ogedengbe gets to battle, and there was one particular battle, they cut his head. He said he went to pick his head and put it back. Have you seen that operation? They said till today, his shrine in Elisha, nobody has had the audacity to enter his shrine. Ogedengbe has died in 1904 or so. Nobody has entered his shrine. He's still there in Elisha. If you have time and money, you can go and drive there. It's because it is you that wants to see. I will carry you and see it. If you can enter, God bless you. Praise God. God didn't send me to go there. So I sat down here. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. They are acquainted with the supernatural. Pastor Bello, I told us of the story of the former Olowo. The Olowo of Owo. The father of this Ogunyi. This president Ogunyi, his father. When they came to governor's office to see Bode George, all the security were there. They said he can't enter. That the governor is busy. So the man went. Shortly after, the governor came out and said, "Who allowed?" They now saw him and the governor walking out. How do you explain that one? After the man had gone, the governor said, "Who allowed the man to enter?" Yeah, they said, "Sir, we didn't allow the man. The security camera is here. We didn't let him enter. We don't know how he got to you." The man appeared in Bode George's office and said, "I was talking to him." She said, "Have you entered that room?" "You haven't entered that room." So when they are talking about the Gentiles, Paul said that, "I know you guys are acquainted with the supernatural. But those were the idols, those were demons that you were covenanting with, you were relating with." Paul said the things that were offered by the Gentiles were offered to demons, not God. And those demons are real. Don't kid yourself that they are not real. And Warita Meta, all those words, they are real. Demons are there. So don't think they are not there. So when you are content and you are pastor, and you say, "Ah, this way I come to give sacrifice again." Ah. You don't know what they came to give sacrifice. Don't go and eat it too. Please. It is well with us in Jesus' name. So what am I trying to say in effect is that, look, the whole Gentile world, our bloodline has been corrupted by sin and demons. What people call Ogun Idile is basically the curse of the bloodline. I want us to see some scriptures this evening before I go. I'm mindful of time. If I can't finish, we'll continue next week. Now look at Deuteronomy 7:26. I'm going to read a number of scriptures to let us see that there are curses in the bloodline.
26.
Yeah, 7:26, Deuteronomy.
"Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be accursed. Let that be a cursed thing like it. But thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly avoid it, for it is a cursed thing."
Now let me explain this a little for us. Some of us, we like artwork. Some of us, we like we just like things. Some of us, we like chains. We like wearing chains. We like pendants. We just like those things. Craft work. Many of those things have been found to be attached to demons. They are spirit of destruction. Many years ago, there was this painting that was making headlines in Nigeria then, of a baby crying. And people liked the way the baby was crying, the way the picture was, and they brought that picture into the house. Everybody that bought that picture became cursed. There were stories of people dying mysteriously. There were stories of people just getting sick. All kinds of things began to happen. But people realized that they had brought a cursed object into their family. I see people where, and I don't know if I will still be able to do this, maybe the next one, I don't know yet, but I'm going to talk about symbols, occultic symbols that we interact with without even knowing we are dealing with occultic symbols. And once you interface with those things, you open yourself to demon entities. I see girls wear this chain that has the horn. There's a name for that one. Or they wear something that has a star. You know, they wear all kinds of funny occultic symbols. Next week, God will help me. Maybe not next week, let me know, but I will talk about those occultic symbols. There are things that are cursed. You don't bring paintings. You don't bring anything into your house. Oh, I saw it on the road, let me buy. Do you know where the person who did it, do you know how he did it? You know what he dedicated it to? And you just buy it and put it in the house. So people begin to fall sick in the house. Oh, you just find that you have financial problem. You cannot explain it. You have brought a curse upon yourself. And these are things we must learn to deal with. Praise the Lord. Now let us continue. Deuteronomy 27, verses 15 to 26. Let me read this one. This was what God said to Israel when the gods were going into the promised land before Moses passed away. He told him, go to Mount of Gerizim, declare the blessing there. Mount Ebal also, declare the curses there. This is declared that in Israel today, the two mountains are opposite one another. That where Moses declared the blessing is very fertile. Very fertile, very lush. The same mountain, one here, and they are opposite one another. It's not that one is here in Akure, one is in Barauke. Opposite one another. The place where he declares the blessing is flourishing. The place where he declared the curse is barren. Nothing grows there. No grass, no weed is growing on that mountain. Everything there is dead. And this was the curse that Moses pronounced, and God instructed him to pronounce. The curse be the man that maketh any graven image or molten image an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and putteth it in a secret place. And all the people shall answer and say what? Amen. You don't go and craft something. You craft it. And say, I like this thing. It's a graven image. You are making it into something. Say, be careful. It can open a door for you. Open the curse. Curse be he that set light by his father or his mother. That means you don't honor your father and your mother. You set them, you just what are they? Just leave me alone. He says, and all the people shall say amen. These are things that open the doors for curses in people's lives. He says, curse be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark. And all the people shall say what? Amen. You bought land, and your land is with somebody, but the man is not around. You remove the landmark and shift it a little bit, because you are smart. You got there first. I had the experience with my neighbor. We had bought the land, and after a few months, we came back. He shifted the boundary by 2 feet, and I said, the thing he built on that thing, he put the water tank there. I said, I will destroy this water tank. And then we'll go to court. And you say, I want to use, how do you say, Owola? On the wrong, you are saying, accusing me of wanting to claim my right. But I look at what is 2 feet. Will 2 feet make me less than what I am? I gave it to him. Now, if you look at his compound, there is so much land there that he didn't even build anything. Yet he wanted my own land. It's a curse. You just open yourself to a curse and you don't know. And when things begin to happen tomorrow, they will not know. They will just be going from one Baba to another Baba, and from Baba to Babalawo, from Babalawo to Babaport. And all people are saying, amen. Now, verse 18 says, cause me that maketh the blind to wander out of the way. A blind man is walking. And you say, pass here, pass here, pass here. And you know there is no way there. Those small things that you used to do when you were small. A man drink a course. And all people shall say what? Amen. Say, cause it that perverted the judgment of the stranger, fatherless and widow. Oh, they brought a case to you, but the person is fatherless. He doesn't have anybody, doesn't know anybody. And you are playing on him. You are denying him justice. You are opening a course for your bloodline. And all the people shall say amen. Verse 20, cursed be he that lies with his father's wife, because he uncovered the father's curse. And all the people shall say what? Amen. These were practices that was common with the Gentiles. Nobody saw anything wrong. You sleep with your father's wife, your father sleeps with your wife. They say in the learning there is no manly. They told me. Everybody is, any child, anywhere, the wife will go out and go and be pregnant. The husband will go out and impregnate somebody else's wife. But everybody is there. So manly, you don't understand why they say the Ilorin Jamba. Mesujamba. Because something is wrong with that bloodline. The whole bloodline of Ilorin has problems. So if you're going to marry from Ilorin, pray well. Pray well. The Lord will go with you in Jesus' name. I can speak to you from experience. The Lord will with you. God will help us in Jesus' name. Verse 21, cursed be he that lies with any manner of beast. And all the bush shall say, man, the rebels are doing it now. They are opening a course for their lineage. Cursed be he that lies with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother. And all the bush shall say, amen. They are passing this into law now in Europe. Cursed be he that lies with his mother-in-law. And all the bush shall say, amen. Cursed be he that smited the neighbors secretly. And all the bush shall say, amen. A lot of crime is happening in America and everywhere that are killing people secretly, and the police cannot find who killed the people. They are opening a course in the bloodline. Cause it that take the reward to slay an innocent person. And all the bush shall say, amen. Of course, we watch films today of the assassin. The American assassin. He's very good on TV. But that action opens that man's life and that lineage to a curse. They will just, and what is a curse? A curse is that is God just puts a bar on your that life. Now you know that the Bible says curse is he that steal it. It says that the curse will follow the person who steals somebody else's things. It just, by the fact that you stole it, opens the door for a curse to run in that bloodline. And we can keep on reading. Now let me go to Deuteronomy 29. My time is going. And it shall come to pass when he hear the words of this curse, that he blesses himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of my own heart, to add drunkenness to thirst. The Lord shall not spare him. But then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against the man. And all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him. And the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. And the Lord shall separate him unto evil out of all the tribes of Israel, according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in this book of the law. Because the man had the curse and he did not fear. He had the warnings of God and he did not tremble before God. And said, I shall have peace. Say, God, I will open the door for curses to enter his life. That you see, when you be, many people pray for people without even finding out what has led them to where they are today. We are fighting battles over our lives that our parents and ancestral lines open doors of curses for us, and and that thing is fighting us. And we need to go and ask God, what is fighting me in my bloodline? What is affecting me? Now, I don't know. I cannot explain because time is going. But let me now begin to close with this one. Now. In Deuteronomy 21:23, the Bible says it was God's curse that God declared. He said, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is cursed of God, that the land be not defiled, with the Lord thy God giveth thee for inheritance. When Jesus died, he was hung on the tree. And when it was evening, the Pharisees said they went to meet Pilate and said the sun must not meet his body on the sunset must not meet his body on the tree. Once the sunset meets his body on the tree, it will trigger a curse upon the whole land. Sure, you understand? And the Bible said they went to meet Pilate and Pilate said, go and let them go and kill him. Because normally crucifixion does not kill people. They suffer before they die, but it takes time before they die. The Bible recorded that when they got to Jesus, he was already dead. And that centurion took a spear and pierced his side to confirm so. And the Bible says, what came out? Water. Is it blood and water? Blood and water gushed out. Then they confirmed he was dead. The man wept. How did he die? But the Bible said that it was him who gave up his own life. I laid it down myself and I'll pick it up. So he laid it down. He gave up his life without even waiting for his body to expire. For the other two, they have to break their legs, break their hands for them to die. So that they may fulfill the scripture that is written, that none of his bones will be broken. Because if they break his bones, God, in raising him, they will have to also bring healing again to his body. So God did not want that complication. So he just gave up the ghost and his body was preserved. They just carry like buried. Hallelujah. So that the curse would not come upon the land. He came to remove the curse, not to bring a curse. So they took his body down. And so Paul has referred to that in Galatians 3:3, verse 13 and 14. He said, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, curse is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He was referring to Deuteronomy 21:23. Because it was cursed. It was on the tree. The Bible says it became a curse for us. Why did it become so? That the blessing of Abraham might come unto the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So the purpose of Jesus going to the cross, apart from the issue of forgiveness, was for him to make the Holy Ghost available to the Gentiles. The sons of Jacob had him in a measure. We didn't have him. We didn't know God. We didn't have God. We didn't have no hope. No nothing. But Jesus' death opened the door for the Holy Ghost to come. What a great privilege. We give God all the praise in Jesus' name. So the Bible says that, as I bring this to a close. Now, let me say this. There's so much to say. Jesus has paid that price. But I want to show us something before I close. Right? It's very, very important. Now, in Deuteronomy 23 verse 2, I read to verse 8. Deuteronomy 2:8. It says, a bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his tenth generation. He shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. An Ammonite or a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to their tenth generation. Shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever? Because why? The met should not be bread and with water in the way, when you came forth out of Egypt. Because they hired against thee Balaam the son of Beor, of Petor, of Mesopotamia, to curse you. Nevertheless, the Lord thy God would not hearken unto Balaam. But the Lord thy God turned the curse into a blessing unto thee, because the Lord loveth thee. Thou shalt not seek their peace, nor their prosperity all thy days forever. Thou shalt not abhor an Edomite. Now, there is an Ammonite, and there is a Moabite. But for an Edomite, God says, thou shalt not abhor him, for he is thy brother. Thou shalt not abhor an Egyptian, because thou was a stranger in his land. The children that had gotten of them shall enter into the congregation of the Lord in their third generation. For the Ammonite and the Moabite, God said, tenth generation. Is it possible that some people that you preach to will not give their life? This could be the problem they are having. There are certain things they've done that is making it impossible for them to give their life to Jesus. If you are going to get them saved, you must contend with that ancestral curse, so that mercy can be released to them. Because Jesus has died for every one of us. But Satan will still lay claim to it and said, no, there is a curse on them. Maybe their parents have cursed the people of God. Maybe their parents have hurt the people of God. And that thing will begin to fight. When they ought to show mercy, they did not show mercy. When they ought to stretch their hands to help, they did not help. And this thing will begin to fight. Let me close with this story. There was a story of that we heard that Baba Adeboye shared, of how a young man was brought to him to be prayed for. That every time he eats rice, it's as if he's going to die. Every time. Everything, his whole stomach goes into all kinds of convulsion and everything. He's in pain. It's as if he's going to die. So they rushed him down to Baba. And as Baba was going to try to pray for him, the Holy Ghost told him, don't pray for him. May we learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. So don't pray for him. And Baba was like, the man is in pain. So why? What is the problem? The Holy Ghost said, ask him, what did he do? He did something wrong. And so Baba called, he said, young man, the Holy Ghost said your father did something wrong. Do you know what your father did that he should not have done? The guy said, I know that my father stole somebody's bicycle in the village. That time, bicycle was a big thing.
That was, and said because he could not pay for his own school fees. He was under pressure to pay for his school, so he went to steal a neighbor's bicycle, sold it, and paid for his school fees. And the neighbor looked down, who stole my bicycle? Have you gone through that before? Who stole my bread? Who stole my this? Who took my slippers? Who took my shirt? And nobody is going to talk. And I say, this person that took my shirt, he will not prosper. You have altered the course. Now that person says, in years to come, the thing will start fighting. Because he has opened the gate for it. So the man said, well, the person took my bicycle. The son, and the man suspected it was that neighbor that took it for his son. Said, anytime his son eats rice. Rice was a very, very serious delicacy in those days. When I was growing up, we only eat rice. Except there's a party, we eat it during party. We eat it on Christmas, during Christmas and Easter. And then, maybe if my mom is happy, they're going to. After our rice, we have won lottery. Praise God. It's not like now that Chinese have flooded our market with rice. Every Tom, Dick, and Harry is eating rice. Eh? That was not so. The man said, anytime this man's son eats rice, the man will die. If he eats rice, he will die. What has kept in my life probably was because the man had given his life to Jesus. But that battle over his soul was being waged. And Baba Debo told him that the only way, wait, do you still know this man? The man, hey, I think you go and buy the man, you know the bicycle, you know how it is. Go and buy the man the bicycle and go and return it to him. Say, the man is dead. Ah. Say, what about his son? And say, his son is alive. Okay. Go and buy it and give it to him. So let the son remove this curse. So that's what he went to do. The man, it was the man's son that now pray for him and remove that curse. No prayer point could have saved him. So curses are very, very important thing that we fight against. When Balaam was called to come and curse Israel, God said no. There's no enchantment against Israel. There's no division against Jacob. There's no enchantment against Israel that will stand. It was God who stood against him. God is also standing for us. But don't open the door. The Bible says, whoever breaketh the edge, the serpent will bite. Don't let us break the edge. But it's important for us today to ask God, look into my past, open my eyes to see where am I having a problem. Could it be an ancestral curse that is fighting against my life? Or could it be that my awful desires has opened the door for the serpent to attack me? Satan attacks us on these individual levels, and we must not be ignorant of it. It's called the sins of the father, generational sins. When Daniel was going to confess, he prayed about the sins of the fathers. He had to repent of the sins of the fathers. Otherwise, there was no way God could step into their situation. If God wants to help us in Nigeria, we have to repent of the sins of the fathers. There are things the fathers have done. There are sacrifices they've done. They should not. The people, they've killed innocent people. Do you know, many of us in Yoruba land, when our obas want to die, they kill innocent people, slaves and all those things, just to start all kinds of things. And you wonder, why are we not going forward? Somebody, these are things that we need to deal with. Oh, you say, but Oyibo people are doing what they are doing. Go and look at all the nations today that are world power. At one time, they had a Christian intervention. It was after that intervention that their lives changed. All of them had a Christian intervention. So don't say, that's one reason why we ask ourselves, why is Nigeria different? We have a lot of churches in Nigeria, but things are not working. Because we are not yet serious. We've not learned how to wage a warfare, both at the local level and at the cosmic level. We have to learn it. And I trust God will help us in the name of Jesus. Thank you for taking time to listen to me. I trust that next week we'll come around. We'll have more time to talk about these things in the name of Jesus. God bless you, and have a great time. If there are questions, I would like to take it. Otherwise, I would like us to pray. Any questions from anywhere, you can send us a chat on the chat. You can text it. You can do anything. Then I will answer those questions, and then we will pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Is there any question? I can't see it.
No question, sir.
We can have, who can ask questions here now? We are here to my service.
When you were talking about Zipporah and Moses, and I was looking at that. Could it be that Moses forgot the law of the law concerning circumcision? Because that woman had to come around and did the circumcision on her own.
Yeah.
So I was just wondering, I said, how can someone that has worked with the Lord just...
Can we really say Moses has started working with the Lord?
At that time? Yes, he was to lead.
He was the one that received the instructions.
Yeah.
But he has not started working with the Lord. He has not started understanding who God was. The only little they told him was by his parents, that the God of their fathers, because it was his mother that raised him up in the house of Pharaoh. So that was how he got to know about the God of his father. But so when he came of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and rebelled. He was wilderness for 40 years, no God, do nothing. Then he was coming back. But I guess for God to have done what he did, I guess he was accountable. I guess he knew. Maybe he took God for granted. He just, Komata.
Mm-hmm.
And Komata is what killed my fictitious Ade. I have a fictitious Ade that always get in trouble. You know? So it always puts Ade in trouble. When Ade just said, Komata. Eventually it will kill Ade. So if that Ade can be you, it can be anybody. People take God for granted. And just say, so that's it. So I think, like mommy was asking, the petrol finish. There's nothing we can do. And I'm not on Zoom. So the people name is Zoom.
Connection. Audio.
Connection. Audio, everything is
there. Praise God. The question here that said, is part of the fact that we are saved, does generational curses still have effect on us? Yes, it still does have effect on us because it's a bloodline thing. And the way to deal with it is to go to the throne of grace and go and have it broken. Because as long as that Satan still has a right, remember that Moses, even when Moses died, the Bible says Satan contended for his body. That would not have happened if Satan did not have a right to contend for him. There was a right, and he played his game. But the Bible says that the angel that came to contend with him too did not bring against him really an accusation. He did not say, Satan, you are an idiot. Why can you come? You should not come. And there's no right. You don't have any right. No. He said, the Lord of heaven, the Lord of hosts rebuke you because he has a right. And who could have known? Maybe all that came because of Moses' relationship in Egypt. All those sacrifices and all those things he would have done while he was growing up in Egypt could have been the reason why Satan came to contend for the book, for the body of Moses. So, yes, he still has a play. He still comes to play. You must deliberately go to the throne and go and destroy it. Any other question? No other question? Okay, in the vet, there is no other question. Can we all pray? Wherever we may be, I want us to pray and talk to the Lord. And pray concerning the loss you are going through. And repent. The solution to this is start with repentance. Before you can begin to rebuke the devil, you must repent of those evil things that you and I have been doing. The generational curse, ask the Lord. Because you may not know what is afflicting your generational, your bloodline. The Lord has to open your eyes to see those things. You need to know what those problems are. And when you know them, you can now begin to go before God and say, ask God for forgiveness and deliverance, taking the promises of God to enforce your salvation, to enforce the release. Because the Bible says, when a strong man is in his house, his goods are safe. until the stronger comes against him. That is when you go and said, I am placing, I am declaring in the name of Jesus, based on the promises of God, release me from this thing. I disconnect myself from this generational problem and this generational curse that has been afflicting from the times of Adam. Break it, and then you are free. But you must acknowledge it exists. You must repent of it. But if you don't know, ask the Lord to show you. Ask the Lord to tell you what is wrong in your generation. You'll find that there is a recurring problem in your family line. There's a problem. Some of you, you marry late. No matter how pretty, how handsome you are, you will marry late. Some don't even give birth at all. Some don't even last in the wedding. They break off. Even as a Christian, that thing will wage war against you. I know of, you know, in certain towns, anyone from certain area, they don't stay in the family. The woman will walk away. The man will be unfaithful. No matter how Christian he is, he will be unfaithful. It runs like that. Now, somebody like that, they said when he noticed that thing in his father, he noticed it in his brother, he has to set time around to go and pray and say, Lord, deliver me. I break this curse over my life. I will not walk in the path of my father and my brother, who have been unfaithful in their family line. They just acquired women, and he had to deliberately break it. So it's not something that you don't say, "Oh, I'm born again." No, it's more than that. You are dealing with fallen angels. You are dealing with terrible spirits that are very legalistic. It's a legal issue. Can we pray and ask the Lord? Lord, show me where I need to, what I need to do with. You may not have been observant. You may not have known it, but just observe that things are not the way they should be. No amount of prayer until that issue is dealt with will solve the problem. You have to deal with the matter. God needed Moses to deal with that issue. He had broken the edge. He had refused to obey the instruction that God gave to Abraham. He had taken God for granted, and God was going to kill him. God was going to attack him. Until he did what was right, nothing was going to work for him. So we need to do what is right. We need God to have mercy on us. We need God to heal our hearts, to deliver us from the lust that have easily beset us, the lust that have gripped our soul. That desire to be fleshy, that desire to be worldly. Lord, I am asking you to deliver us. I am asking for mercy, that you will give us strength to say no. The man's grace of God has appeared unto us, and I ask for grace, that we will say no to unrighteousness. In whatever form it has come, whatever guise has come, help me to say no to unrighteousness. Help me to say no to unrighteousness. Help me to reject that which is evil and accept that which is good in Jesus' name. Give me the strength, O God. Give me the strength, O God. Give me the grace, O God. In the name of Jesus, help me not to walk in the way of my Gentiles. Help me not to walk in the way of wicked men. Help me, Lord. The Bible bless the man that does not walk, walk in the path of the ungodly. He does not stand in the way of sinners and does not sit in the seat of the scoffer. But delight is in the Lord. Help me to have my delight in the Lord all the days of my life in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you and we give you praise. In Jesus' name we are praying. Amen. Father, I pray for all my brethren and those who are listening to me and those who have been watching and those who will listen. I pray that, Lord of heaven, that you use this message to touch their hearts. Amen. Use this message to address the situations in our lives in the name of Jesus. Amen. Those who have been bound by lust, I pray that your power will appear upon us. Amen. And you will break that hold upon our souls in the name of Jesus. Amen. The wrong desire that we have easily beset us, the temptation and the Lord that have held us bound. Father, I pray for mercy. Let your grace be revealed to us to help us to say no to these things in the name of Jesus. Strengthen our willpower. Strengthen our willpower. That our wills will be strong enough to say no and walk away from them in Jesus' name. You help Joseph. Joseph was tempted. Joseph was exposed to every temptation. He walked away. It has not been heard of in that ancient world. Father, I pray that will be our case. Yeah. Like Daniel, who saw the table of the king that was so filled with all kinds of delicacies, Daniel turned his back and went to eat ordinary vegetable. Father, give us that strength of heart. Amen. To do that which is right in the name of Jesus. Amen. I pray for every one of us. We were once Gentiles. We have bloodline issues. Father, many of us don't even know what our bloodline problems are. I pray that you open our eyes to this problem. Lord, those of us that know, you will give us the wisdom to deal with the matter. You will give us the strength to address it. That we will not be afraid. But that, Lord of heaven, you will direct us to on how to go about it in the name of Jesus. Father, the Bible says those of us that are sick, we should go and talk to those who are our elders and let them pray for us. Said we should pray for one another. Father, teach us how to pray for one another.
Amen.
That we may be healed. That we may be delivered. Lord, this is a practice that has been missing in the body of Christ. Everybody is sufficient. But Father, Lord, restore this practice that we learn how to pray for one another. We learn how to walk to ourselves and say, look, pray for me, I have this problem. And this matter will be kept as a secret. Lord, build your church. Strengthen us in this area of our lives in the name of Jesus. We thank you and we bless your name. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed.
Amen
and amen.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.